came in for a mission.
The snap. Winston sells the play action fake again. Looks sideline. Bayrod toward the corner. There's a caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans takes it over the shoulder.
This is Monday's Buccaneers Total Access.
Fire the cannons.
Where each week we feature a different Buccaneers player. Brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. Here's your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome into Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Evans. I'm Casey Phillips, team insider for the Buccaneers. And Mike, thank you so much for being with us. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great.
Thanks, Victory Monday, right? You got to be feeling good.
Absolutely. Always a good day after a win.
That's awesome. And we're going to be taking questions from all of you fans out there. This is your chance to ask Mike Evans all those burning questions you've had. So many ways to submit those on Twitter, hashtag Bucs Radio. You can also go on the Bucs app under the feature section. And then you can also call in. We love hearing those live callers. Here are those numbers. Hillsborough County, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll free anywhere, 888-546-4620. So, Mike, I know any win is obviously a blast for you guys, but the way that one went down and just so decisive, that had to be so fun, especially to kick off the season.
Absolutely. And we wanted to go out there and put on the show for the fans. You know, with the hurricane situation, you know, people are in bad places. We just wanted to go out there and just put on a good show for the fans and give everybody hope and just put on a good show.
And the hurricane situation has kind of hit you doubly hard. Obviously, you're from Galveston. So take us through what that was like for you, first of all, with Hurricane Harvey, and then obviously you've had Hurricane Irma here, and just the situations that's put you in, both you and your friends and family recently.
It sucks. You know, it's very unfortunate, but, you know, we can't control Mother Nature. So, you know, thank God, you know, my family and, you know, in Texas were okay. You know, out here, you know, my home was okay. So, you know, it's just tough, you know, being, you know, having to deal with things like that, hurricanes. But, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, really. Just got to rebuild after.
And what was the last week here like for you when there was so much uncertainty when of, you know, whether or not y'all were going to play week one and then you find out it's postponed and there won't be a bye week and then going into this last game? Just mentally for you guys, I know y'all are very much creatures of habit and wanting to know those schedules and have it be routine. So all of those things that were changing to start the season, how did that affect you in your preparation?
It didn't really affect me much. You know, Dirk did a great job pointing out that we have all these built-in excuses and things like that. I just worked out when we had, you know, that was our bye week, I guess, that the first week. So, you know, I just went back home to Galveston, worked out, you know, spent time with my family, and just, you know, I knew the season was going to come, so I wasn't impatient at all. You know, we treated it like professionals.
Was that weird to have other teams playing week one and you guys were still sitting? I mean, did it feel like a bye week or did it feel like you guys were just missing out on something?
It just felt like we were missing out, honestly. We all wanted to be out there. But, I mean, like I said, there's nothing we could do. It was unfortunate. But we did a good job of staying locked in the next week, that week and the next week.
Yeah, and a lot of people were wondering if you guys would come out rusty or how it would feel coming into the game this week, because especially for some of the starters, it had been so long because of the end of preseason not playing those last couple games. Did you feel any different going into that game with a lot of rest? Did you feel rusty or rested or somewhere in between those two?
I felt good. You know, the week off, you know, it helped a lot because we had a long training camp. You know, Dirk did a great job. You know, we had the time off. We came back. You know, we didn't just rush right back into it. You know, we just treat it like professionals. I felt healthy for the
good moment. That's awesome. And then going into this game, I mean, everyone talked about how fired up they were. For you, when you got out there, what were those feelings and emotions to get out there for another season that I'm sure felt like it had been a long time coming?
Absolutely. I'm just happy we started off the season strong.
And that first touchdown for you, obviously a huge play, and you're one of those guys that makes those plays look easier than they are. I mean, that was a really hard catch, but you just made it seem so simple. So walk us through that play and how that went down from your perspective.
Well, I got man-to-man coverage, one-on-one down in the red zone, what we like. You know, I beat him at the line of scrimmage. And Jameis threw a good ball back shoulder, and I just used my size and my length to reach and catch it, and got my feet down.
And obviously something that a lot of people had been looking forward to this year was seeing you and Deshaun out on the field, and I know it seemed like in particular in that play, the recognition of that one-on-one coverage that you had. How quickly did you recognize the effect his presence out there was having in the ability that you were going to have those one-on-one situations?
Yeah, he took away a lot of pressure. The last couple of years we played the Bears, you know, I got double-teamed a whole lot. This year, not so much. You know, to have a guy like that with game-breaking speed and, you know, just so much, he has so much experience and his track record speaks for itself. Like, you have to worry about him. So, and most of the time, they're not going to be able to double-team me. And if they are, then they're just going to leave one-on-ones for everybody else on the field.
Yeah, and what's that feeling like for you when you get out there and you're that close to the end zone, you look ahead of you, you see your one-on-one coverage, the safety's way too far over. What is that feeling like? Do you just all of a sudden want to, like, almost yell at Jameis, like, hey, look over here, but you don't want to give it away? I just imagine that the excitement has to be huge for you.
Yeah, no, I get very excited. And Jameis, me and Jameis have a good connection to where, like, he watches loads of film. Me, not so much, but if it's one-on-one and then we know the look, we get the look that we want, most of the time, you know, hopefully, you know, he's going to come my way. You know, we work on it in practice and in the offseason, so you know, I was just happy to see that pay off this weekend.
For sure. And we want to get to some of these fan questions. People can keep sending them in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio. Our first one comes from Drew, and he says, Mike, your separation is crazy good. What have you done to improve that since your rookie year?
Well, I'm a better route runner than I used to be. I feel like I'm improving each year. I got my weight down from my rookie year. My rookie year, I was real heavy. I still could run and big body guys, but I wasn't creating as much separation as I am now. Just understanding the nuances of route running and you know, just taking coaching well, and that's pretty much it.
We also have one from Joe, and he says he's listening from Manhattan, which is pretty cool, and he wants to know what's the biggest difference about this year's Bucks team compared to the ones you have been on in the past.
Oh, well, this the Bucks roster is the most talented roster, you know, I've been a part of, so that's the biggest difference. But, you know, hopefully we can, you know, just keep putting in the work every week, keep fighting for each other, and hopefully we can have an awesome season.
And Rick wants to know, first he says, Mike, you're a beast. And then he says, what are your goals for this season?
I appreciate it, man. My goals for the season are just to take it week by week and hopefully just win. I mean, I don't have any statistical goals. You know, I guess one of the goals is playoffs. You know, I want to make it to the playoffs. So that's my main goal.
For sure. And then Bryce wants to know, who was your favorite wide receiver growing up?
Favorite wide receiver was Randy Moss growing up. I liked Marvin Harrison as well because Peyton Manning was my favorite player. But as far as receivers, I used to love Randy Moss.
Why him? What was it about him that you loved?
He was just a freak of nature, and he played with his swagger was awesome. I loved the swagger he played with. He was just a savage out there. He used to moon the Green Bay fans, straight cash homie, just, yeah, swag. And to me, he's the best receiver to ever play the game.
You think there's some little kids out there that are saying that their favorite is Mike Evans because of his swag?
I hope so. I try to play with a little swag. I'm humble for the most part, but, you know, I try to play with some swag and have fun out there on the field.
I like that. And then Bryce also wanted to know, what is your favorite thing about Tampa Bay?
My favorite thing about Tampa Bay, other than the fans, it'll have to be the city it's much bigger than Galveston, but it's kind of similar to my hometown, Galveston. It's hot throughout the year, and they have a beach. So, you know, I grew up with a beach. You know, the beach out here is way prettier than the beach back home. I like it. It's similar to Galveston, so that's why I like it.
That's pretty cool. Zachary wants to know, who is your most respected cover corner and why?
My most respected cover corner?
Mm-hmm.
They're all cover corners, aren't they?
Yeah. Maybe he means lockdown cover corner, like the guy that you can just leave out on an island.
Well, so far in my career, the best I faced, in my opinion, was Patrick Peterson. You know, I've said that before. I just think, you know, he's so smart. He's a big corner.
He's about a little bit over 6 foot. He's a strong corner, strong at the line of scrimmage, and he can run. And he has awesome ball skills. So he has everything you want in a corner. He was the best that I played so far in my career.
I like that. This might be one of my favorite questions we've received in a while. John wants to know, I saw you in Hard Knocks changing diapers. What's harder, going over the middle or getting a surprise in the diaper?
Man, that's a tough one. That really is tough.
Neither very pleasant.
Yeah, going across the middle is a little bit harder. It depends. Like, going across the middle and I know I'm about to get hit and I'm defenseless, that's harder. But going across the middle and I know I can get down and protect myself, or if I can see him coming, I can just brace, then I take that. But being defenseless across the middle, that's probably worse than changing a shitty diaper.
All right, Jeremy wants to know, did playing basketball help you in the NFL?
I guess. I mean, it helped me in football, you know, high-pointing balls and using my body control and boxing guys out for rebounds, using my big frame. But it helped a little. But did it help me in the NFL? I mean, I'm not so sure, but it helped me when I translated to college. You know, I played basketball in high school, was going to go to college for basketball, but then, you know, just had a hunch, just decided to choose football. And yeah, I guess it did help a little.
I like that. All right, we still have a lot more coming up with Mike Evans. We're going to take a quick break. Just want to remind everyone, if you want to call in, the numbers for Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. You can also tweet in using hashtag Bucks Radio or submit the questions on the Buccaneers app. This is Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Evans, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll be right back. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access continues, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage. Once again, your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Evans, brought to you by Florida Hospital. And we have so many fan questions we need to get to. First, we're going to have a caller. We have Ward in Tampa. Ward, what's going on?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Mike, you're a beast, man, number one in the NFL. My question, with the rack yards, I know you got the goal to get some yards after the catch. Obviously, you did that in the two-minute drill to set us up for that field goal. What exactly is it that goes into that? Is it from an X's and O's point where you just got to get those opportunities, or is it something as far as, like, your training that helps you with that?
Man, I appreciate it. You're a real fan of the game, I see. I think it's more about opportunity. You know, last year I was double-teamed a lot, and I wasn't putting, like, the positions to make guys miss because there were always a lot of guys around me. So I was just being smart and taking what I could get. But, you know, this year I want to be more dynamic, and, that's a good start. Thanks for calling out that two-minute drive.
I like that. And I think that's a great question. I think a lot of us, you know, that are fans or media people debate a lot about statistics and how much you can or can't tell. And you've talked about you want more yak, but obviously when you're a huge target in the end zone, not going to be getting any yards after the catch and a touchdown. So there are things that really skew those. So how do you personally try and evaluate some of those areas of your game where stats aren't everything, feel isn't everything? How do you make those decisions for yourself of what you really need to improve on?
I know what my weaknesses are, and I know what my strengths are. I just try to work on my weaknesses as much as I can, and I thought yard after catch was one of them. There was times last year where I could have fought for, like, extra yardage and made guys miss and try to get big plays, but, you know, I was just being more conservative, being more smart. It all depends on, like, timing of the game, like what point in the game we are, or if it's third down and we need extra yardage, then I'm going to fight for extra yardage, of course, but it all depends.
Yeah, that's true. And I know yesterday, obviously, in the game, it's the perfect combination of you guys doing some big things on offense and then obviously the defense getting not only takeaways but putting points on the board. How much does that help you guys as an offense when they are doing so much like that to not only get you the ball back but even give you a bigger cushion of a lead points-wise to begin with?
I mean, it just gives us confidence. When our defense is fighting and playing their butts off like that, you know, we want to do the same. And they put us in great field position the whole game. You know, they played awesome. So, you know, we were just trying to feed off them.
All right, our next question on Twitter comes from Holden. He says, Mike, you're the best wide receiver in the league to me. What do you have to do to be the hands-down best wide receiver?
I appreciate it. You know, I don't know what I got to do. You know, I don't think there's ever been like a hands-down where everybody in the whole world just says this one guy's the best receiver. So, you know, but in my opinion, you know, I think, like I said, yards after catch and just more deep plays. You know, I've been the intermediate routes, the shorter routes, getting first downs and things like that are my strong suits, red zone. You know, I want to get more down the field passes and yards after catch.
All right, this is a pretty intense question we got next here from Dennis. All right, first of all, what year were you born again, Mike, before I ask you this?
1993.
Okay, so you were only 9 when this happened, so I don't know how well you know this, but he asked, Mike, how do you think the 2017 Bucks offense would do against the 2002 Bucks defense?
I'm not sure. They play a lot of tempo too, so now it could be exploited a little bit more. You know, tempo two is not really ran as much in the league because now, you know, offenses know how to beat it. But I think we fare well. You know, that was one of the all-time great defenses. So, but you know, I'm confident in our guys. I'm confident in myself. I think we would have fared okay on our best day versus their best day. I think we would have fared okay. But it depends. If we're playing bad, they used to get a lot of turnovers, and they had some hard hitters, great front seven, good on the back end. So I mean, it's just a matter of if we're playing our best ball.
That's awesome. I'm impressed how well you knew that defense. Very, very good. And Kim, I like this too. You talked about how you think on your best day you guys are doing something really special. You talked about how talented this roster is. Kim wants to know, it seems like something really exciting is brewing there at One Buck Place, and it looks more like a complete unit and family. Do you feel like something really is different this year?
Yeah. You know, it started last year when we went on the win streak last year. The momentum shifted. You know, it just seemed like guys were more tight. You know, guys were more cool with each other. Guys doing things off the field. Guys having more fun in practice. And it carried over. And then we added, you know, a lot of good pieces to our roster. And we added a lot of good guys. They're great players, but they're good guys off the field as well. So they just fit right in. And we're just looking to just continue to build that continuity and that rapport. And just play the game as a family, it makes it much easier.
You talked about how much film Jameis watches. Obviously, people talk all the time about chemistry with wide receivers and quarterbacks. I'm sure you've gotten asked about Jameis a million times, but if you think about what you've learned about him over the last few years as you get to know him better, what are the things that make him really who he is and that you guys see that maybe we don't behind the scenes of what he really does put in work-wise? We got a bit of an idea on Hard Knocks. They showed us a little bit of the routine, but you guys day in and day out, what is it about Jameis that you think could make him a great one?
His work ethic. And it's documented and it's true. You know, his work ethic is second to none. It's crazy. He gets up every day, I don't know what time, like 5 o'clock in the morning. He's always the first guy in the building, last to leave. And he's always trying to get better. You know, if me and him don't hit a route in practice, he wants to throw it after and to make sure we hit it, make sure we get it down. He's just he tries to be a perfectionist, and that's what we love about him. You know, he wants to win. He loves the game of football, and he loves his teammates. So, but what sets him apart is his work ethic. It's just crazy.
Yeah, you guys are both incredibly mature beyond your years in terms of not only football, but also outside the field, and you guys are still both so young. It's kind of crazy to realize how long, theoretically, you two could play together. And do you consider yourself a vet now, or do you not consider yourself quite to that point age-wise, maybe?
I am young, but I played a bit of football, so you know, I guess I'm a vet. You know, I'm a captain now. It's my first year being a captain. Jameis has been a captain, so yeah, I think we're both vets.
Is that part of the qualification? You think once you're a captain, that kind of graduates you to the vet land?
Yeah, man. Just call me Captain Mike now.
Captain Mike. I like it. That's pretty good. And what was that like to get to be a captain? I mean, how much did that mean to you to know that your team viewed you in that way?
Oh, that's awesome. You know, the main thing, you want the respect of your teammates. You know, you want the respect of the players around the league and the fans. But
the main thing you want is the respect of your teammates, and that's awesome. You know, I try to be the best teammate I can be. And I try to push guys to be the best they can be. So, you know, I'm happy that they voted for me to be the captain. And I'm gonna continue to push the issue and try to play the best that I can and help lead this team.
That's awesome. And I know you definitely have the respect of the fans as well. We actually had a fan just tweet in and say, Manny said, big thank you to Mike Evans for signing my son's jersey that I sent to One Buck after we lost it at training camp. Good luck this year. So you're obviously winning over not only your teammates, but also the fans.
I try. You know, I can't get to all of them, but, you know, I try whenever I can. So, you know, without the fans, you know, the game, we wouldn't have games. So, you know, we appreciate the fans so much, especially me.
All right, we got another caller here. We have Matthew from Land O'Lakes wanting to know about some defensive schemes. Matthew, how's it going?
Hey, guys, I'm doing good, especially after yesterday. How about you?
We're doing great, man. Go ahead and ask your question for Mike.
Oh, I appreciate y'all taking my call. Real quick, Mike, I just want to say that I think that you're a blessing to our team, so I'm glad to have you. But what I wanted to know, Mike, is if you could talk a little bit about your preparation from week to week, from team to team, versus, you know, some teams on another.
I can't really hear you.
Yeah, I think it sounds like it's breaking up a little bit, but I think he was talking about your preparation from week to week, knowing it's a defensive scheme difference depending on the team. So maybe how your preparation might change a bit depending on what type of defensive scheme the other team's running.
Oh, well, you know, our coaching staff does a great job of just figuring out, you know, what the defense most likely wants to run during a certain down and distance. But it's never perfect. You know, they always, you know, teams switch it up during the games on the fly, and, you know, offense has to do that as well. We go on the sideline and tell the coaches what we see, and, you know, Dirk will switch up a play, you know, here or there, depending on how they're playing. So it just depends.
And we had Ricky tweet in talking about your celebration, that the alley-oop with Jameis whenever you guys score. And he also talked about how the boxing celebration with D-Jax was so awesome. So tell us a little bit about where these celebrations come from.
Well, me and Jameis been doing the Euro since last year. I don't know why. I'm a basketball guy, so I always just be doing Euro steps, you know, around the locker room at practice. And one day me and Jameis were at his house. We were he was throwing and I was just catching for him. And then one day I was like, we should do this celebration. And then it just came out of nowhere. And me and D-Jax, we're trying to come up with a lot of ideas, you know, to celebrate with the new rule that we can, you know, start celebrating now. But the boxing one, we got that from D-Wade and LeBron. They should do that in pregame.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Cool. You know, and speaking of LeBron, anyone who watched Hard Knocks learned that you have a bit of a opinion about LeBron and Kobe.
Yeah.
So in case people didn't see that episode, if someone were to walk up to you and say, after Michael Jordan, Kobe is hands down the best player ever, what would you say?
It's debatable.
And what would be your debate here?
I disagree.
Strongly, it seemed like, whenever it was brought up to you.
yeah, but people have their opinions. I mean, that's fine. In my eyes, from what I see, in a guy that plays basketball and watches a lot of basketball, I just think LeBron James he's really, if you take out accomplishments, he's the best player ever. But I think Michael Jordan dominated his era. I think this era is better, more athletic, skill set higher than when Jordan played, but Jordan just dominated his era, just too great, never lost in the finals, and he's the resume that everybody wants. So I think LeBron could pass him, you know, even with the 5 finals losses, but he'll have to beat this Warriors team, and I think this Warriors team is probably the best ever. Kind of bad for basketball, but, I mean, that was their decision to do that. I don't know. You know, hopefully somebody can get him.
Yeah, and we had a great question here from Outlaw who says, LeBron says he could play in the NFL. Do you think you could play in the NBA?
I think LeBron could definitely play in the NFL if he went to college. I think he would have transitioned real good. But he's too tall, so he can't be I guess he can be a receiver, but I've never seen a 6'8 receiver in the NFL, probably tight end maybe.
Yeah, that's what I think a lot of people speculate at the tight end.
I probably could make it.
You think you could make a roster?
I played a couple guys that were in the NBA and held my own. If I just went through the process like them, went to college, been put in a good situation to where I got to play a lot and show my skill set, maybe so. I know it's much harder to make it in the NBA than the NFL because of the numbers. There's only 15 guys each team, and there's a lot of 6'5"-plus guards, so it'll be a little bit harder, but I think I could.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of weird that you'd be one of the shorter people on a basketball team as compared to here where you're one of the tallest guys.
Absolutely.
So he also followed up asking, if you were going to try and play in the NBA, what team or player would you most want to team up with?
I want to play with D-Wade. That's my favorite all time.
All time. Which team he was with would you want? Who were some of the other people? Or what year would you want?
The 2012 Heat.
There you go.
LeBron and D-Wade. Chris Bosh.
It's a pretty good pick right there. All of a sudden, the serious three, the big three there became a really serious four. That would have been pretty great. And then also, if people don't know, besides basketball, your other love is Harry Potter. And it looks like one of our fans knew this already, which is great. Doug says, which one is your favorite Harry Potter book?
The books. I go off the movies because I only read the first two books.
But I know slacking.
I just didn't feel the need to read the books after I had watched the movies. And I know the books give more details, but my favorite movie, I mean, it's probably either Goblet of Fire or Deathly Hallows 2.
Those are pretty good options.
Yeah, last Deathly Hallows. Those are tied for first.
Yeah, it seems like Deathly Hallows would be your favorite because isn't that the tattoo that you have?
Yeah, I do. That was the only thing I could really think of at the time. I got that on the fly.
You just wanted a Harry Potter tattoo?
Yeah, and that was the coolest one, I thought, so I got that.
That's pretty great. I like that. And you also had a Harry Potter cake at your wedding, which is potentially the greatest thing I've ever seen. Where did the idea for that come from?
My wife. My wife got it. It was my groom's cake. So it was a surprise. After all the festivities or whatever, everybody was dancing, they took me upstairs and they showed me the cake. I thought it was awesome.
She's a keeper right there.
Very detailed. It tasted good. I only got one little piece, and then everybody ate my whole cake.
How rude.
A lot of people at my wedding, and they just ate my whole cake. They ate the wedding cake, and nothing was left.
Well, I mean, you probably had a fair amount of offensive linemen there and athletes in general. It seems like food would have been at a premium at a wedding like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there.
That's true.
Just by her.
Who on your team, if you had to get in an eating contest against, who would you least want to go against?
Ali Marpet.
That's a good option right there. I think I would agree with that.
He can eat some food now.
That's very true. All right, we're going to take another quick break here. Still got lots to go with Mike Evans, and you can continue to call in. The numbers for Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. You can also tweet in those questions at #BucksRadio or under the Buccaneers app. Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Evans brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll be right back. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Now more on Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Moving right toward the south end zone. Five-step drop, Winston throws a sideline route toward Evans, makes the catch, and he is going to touchdown Tampa Bay. Juggling catch by Evans, they'll review it, but a great throw by Winston, back shoulder thing in the corner of the end zone, and Mike Evans snags another one.
Welcome back in to Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Evans, and there is just nothing like a Gene Deckerhoff call. Mike, is it kind of fun for you to get to hear that whenever, obviously, not a thing you get to hear during the game?
Yeah, I love Gene.
Gene's the best.
He did an awesome job.
That's pretty great. All right, and people can continue to call in. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. You can also tweet questions to Mike at #BucksRadio or submit them on the Bucks app. We have a caller in here right now. We have DeMario from Tampa who has a question about the running game. Go ahead, DeMario.
Hey, guys. What's going on? What's up, Captain Mike?
What's going on, man?
Not much. Well, actually, two quick questions. First question is regarding the running game, and I wanted to know how does it affect you as a receiver and your everyday work ethic when it comes to the running game? Like, how does it help you out, and as well as bringing in Jackson as well? How does that help you to get open more, or the double team? How does that help you as a receiver? And then also the second question is, do you think you're actually better than AB? In my opinion, you definitely are, man. You're a beast.
My man. Well, as far as the running game, you know, teams that pass the ball will have a solid running game. We like to run the ball and then hit them over the top, play action, things like that, so they can load the box and we could be one-on-one outside. As far as the AB question, I don't know, time will tell. I thought last year in the regular season, I was top. I think me and him and Odell were top three, but then when the playoffs came, I thought he moved past me and Odell, and I thought Julio was number one. So, well, this is a new season, so, well, he had a good start. I had a good start. We'll see.
We also have another caller. First of all, I love that Captain Mike might catch on. We're totally starting that here. Our next caller is Michael, and he has a question about playing against Mike Glennon. Go ahead, Michael. Did Michael go away? I think we lost Michael. All right, I think we lost Michael. His question, though, was how it was to play against Mike Glennon yesterday.
Kind of awkward. You know, I'm a big fan of Mike. We're good friends. I wanted him to do well, but not against us.
Yeah.
So, kind of awkward. I wanted him to do bad but do good at the same time. I don't know if I'm putting that right. It was good to see him, though. I talked to him before the game and after. It was good seeing him. Real good friend of mine. I wish him nothing but the best moving forward.
That's going to be hard whenever you do get to know so many people in this league and you do play against him. I mean, I see that every game. There's always guys going over and, you know, high-fiving and hugging people on the other team. And then you have to go out and try and basically kill each other. I've just always wondered how that works. Like, do you just try and forget once you go out on the field who these people are off the field?
This business is... it's a dog-eat-dog. Like, you got to go out there and do it no matter what. Like, you have to, because they're gonna ball on you or try to knock you out or whatever. So you have to. But we all know it's our job, and, you know, we're competitive. So, you know, that's just how it is. It's a dog-eat-dog world in the NFL.
Probably easier to just try to not make friends with a cornerback for you. Then you don't have to worry about it.
I know, man. Me and Altron are good friends, so, you know, week one, we thought we were going to play him in Miami. We'll play him later on in the season. But, you know, we're good friends. I guess it is tough, but got to get through it because I can't let them ball on me. So.
Right. How does it factor in when you do both know each other so well? I mean, obviously you and Altron will have gone against each other in practice a ton, so... And people were asking this question with, you know, Mike Glennon and our defense of whenever both sides know each other very well, how far into that chess match do you get before you just have to kind of say, like, man, I don't even know, I just have to play? You know, how much do you really try and think about their tendencies and use what you know about them?
You take their tendencies. From my position, I looked at corners, footwork, like Altron, I know a lot about him. He knows a lot about me. But in the game, like, sometimes a game plan can help you out a lot. Defensively, it can help you out a real lot because if you're going against a top wide receiver and you're a corner, you're probably gonna have a lot of underneath coverage help and a lot of times over the top coverage, so you can be aggressive and, like, you know the receiver's tendencies. But as far as, like, if you're one on one and you both know each other's tendencies, then that's just a good matchup. You know, hopefully, you know, the quarterback, you know, can get the ball to the receiver. I don't know. Like, it happens all over the place in the NFL, so I don't know.
We had a fan ask Coach on Friday when he's scouting the other teams, does he look more at what players do very well or what they can't do on the other team? So I'll ask the same question to you. If you're watching film on a corner that you might be going against, which one of those has more effect on the way you go against them?
Oh, yeah, I look at both. I look at what they do well and what they're not so good at. I try to focus on the things they do well and how I can, you know, counteract that. I look at what step the DB takes in press. Which foot do they step with first, the inside or outside? I look at what hand do they jam with. I try to find like little things like that, and I try to see what they're good at. Like a lot of receivers are good at. I mean, a lot of DBs are good at like grabbing at the line of scrimmage. I just try to find a way like which way I can wipe their hands off or push off. I don't know. I just look at a lot of things when I'm watching the DB. So I look at good and bad.
That is definitely a lot for sure. We had a question on the Bucks app from Mike, and he says they have very different styles, but Manziel and Winston are both so successful outside the pocket. How has it compared playing for such dynamic playmakers?
Oh, yeah, they're both similar outside the pocket. Both hard to bring down. They throw really accurate balls on the run, so that's always good. And we just, I don't know, I just always had a good feel for scramble drill. I worked on it a lot in college, and it transferred over to the league. You know, now I'm with Jameis, and, you know, me and him do a good job of just locking eyes, and he does a good job of ball placement.
Yeah, that's true. You guys are both incredibly good at just making plays happen when it doesn't seem like there's anything there. And you actually ended up getting to win an NFL honor for one of your plays that you made last year, that catch that you had. Was that so cool for you to know that even just one individual play got so much attention that you were able to win an award for it?
Oh, yeah. You know, the hard work didn't go unnoticed. I mean, I don't think that was the best play of the NFL last year overall. Like individually, like as far as just how hard the play was, maybe, but it wasn't as important. You know, we were down 19. It was a good play, I guess, but it didn't mean as much. But I mean, I got an award for it, so that was pretty cool. Was happy I was able to hold on to the ball after it hit. Wish I would have got the flag too.
Yeah, that's true. Is it weird for you sometimes when you watch film to see things, how they end up looking? I mean, like you said, you may not have even realized what that play looked like until you saw it on film later. Does that happen fairly often where you watch a game and you're like, man, that actually was a crazy good play, or that was even harder, you know, than I realized it was?
Yeah. When you're out there doing it, it's never as good as you think, and it's never as bad as you think. So that really is how it is. Some practices, I'd have awesome practices, but then I'd watch on film, I'm like short on routes. My hand placement isn't always good, and sometimes when I have a real bad practice or a bad game, it's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, that's true. And I bet coaches help you figure that out a little bit in film sessions. We got to see a little bit of one with Coach Monken on Hard Knocks, and I think people got a glimpse of the fact that he is a pretty entertaining coach to play for. Can you tell us a little bit about your position coach and what it's like to be in the film room with him?
Oh man, Coach Monk is a character. He's an awesome coach. Fun guy to be around. Brings a lot of energy, and he forces all of us receivers to get into a position like to be uncomfortable, to make us keep working. We always have more in us, and we don't know it. So he just does a good job of pushing us and trying to make us the best that we can be.
What kind of person? I'm sure that different coaches, they all have very different personalities. Do you find yourself having to adapt to different coaches, or do you find them sort of adapting to what you need? How does that balance work out in terms of the type of coaching you respond to the most?
I like to think that I'm a coachable player. You know, I can take a coach that, you know, is going to get all fiery, cuss you out and all that. I can take that, and I can take a guy that's a little softer on you. I mean, I can take all types of coaching, but certain guys are different. Certain guys feel that they don't want to cross the line of being disrespected, because we are grown men. We do have families. We do take care of a lot of people. So some people feel that way, but me, at the end of the day, it's their job to coach. You know, any coaching style is cool with me.
All right, we still have one more segment coming up here on Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Evans. You can keep calling in the numbers for Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free, 888-546-4620. You can also tweet it in using that hashtag, Bucks Radio, or send it in on the Bucks app. This has been brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll be right back on Buccaneers Radio.
Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Evans. Time for our final segment here with Mike, so you still have a few minutes to get those last-minute questions in. You can tweet those to us at Bucs Radio or get them on the Bucs app or call in. So, Mike, you talked a little bit about your family, actually, right before we went to break, and I wanted you to get a chance to brag on them, brag on your family, and what that maybe has even done for you as a player and a man to switch into being not only a football player but a father.
Oh, that's awesome. I wouldn't change it for the world. I've got two beautiful daughters, a beautiful wife. I'm so happy when I get to see my oldest. She lives in Texas with her mother. So when she gets to come to games, in the off season, we see her a lot. My 9 month old lives, I have my wife, Araya. She lives here in Tampa. She's crawling, trying to start walking soon. So it just lights me up, you know. Just two little girls that, you know, just, I don't know, they just got me in the palm of their hand, you know. I don't know, I'll do anything for them. They give me extra motivation, as well as my wife. And they help me mature a lot. I love them to death.
That's awesome. And, you know, you're talking about, again, being a captain, the fact that you're more of a vet now. Whenever you have these new rookies come in, you know, if a guy like Chris Godwin get drafted, what do you feel like is your role when you have younger guys, especially your position, but just guys in general now that you're a captain and what you can do for them?
Just try my best to show them how to be a pro. You know, Vincent Jackson, I had Vincent Jackson my rookie year, my second year and third year to watch and try to mimic. You know, he was an awesome pro, so I'm trying to be, you know, that guy that, you know, the younger guys can look up to and say, this is how you're supposed to treat your, like, take care of your body. This is how you're supposed to treat your craft and things like that. So I just try to be a good role model or be a good, just be somebody that they can look up to, and hopefully I can do it the right way and they can just watch me.
Yeah, and we saw O.J. Howard have his first catch yesterday. You were talking about, obviously, you being such a big-bodied receiver. Are there things that you feel like you can teach him about his receiving, him being such a big athletic guy as well?
Absolutely. I was thinking about that. I forgot to get with him. Thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome. That's what we're here for on Bucs Radio.
I'm going to get with him this week. There's some things that I want to show him that will help him out, because he can move like a receiver. So I want to show him some things, you know, that will help him off the line of scrimmage and at the point of the catch.
Had you gotten to see him play in person before he was here?
I haven't. I think he was a freshman the year at Texas A&M. We lost to Alabama in 2013. I think he might have been a freshman, or he might not even been there yet. I think he was a freshman. They had beat us, but I don't know if he, I don't think he played that game, or maybe he did. I was watching.
Yeah, you're a little busy over there game planning whenever they're out there.
It was preseason, but that was my first real game, you know, watching him, and he did an awesome job.
So when you saw him get here, I think I heard a lot of people talking about how they just couldn't believe how big he was and the way he plays when you see that size. Did you have a similar reaction?
Yeah. His speed was mind-blowing to me. He's probably my speed, or I might be a little bit faster.
Oh.
Faster than me. I might be a little bit faster than OJ.
But this sounds like a challenge.
Speed, so, yeah, we might race one day. He's real fast, so I don't know. That's what you know, would open my eyes.
You know, we were talking to Coach on Friday about how there's those sensors that you guys have in your pads that will actually track, like, miles per hour. Have you ever asked what yours have been?
No, I don't know if I have it, but miles will definitely be top three on the team.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know. Top five for sure.
All of a sudden, you're backtracking a little bit. Come on, Mike, stick to your guns here.
There's a lot of fast dudes on the team, though. But
yeah, I mean, you're probably not going to beat Deshaun.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so just dead out sprint down the field. Not talking route running, dead out sprint. So who do you think could beat you on the team?
On the team? I was lying. DJX can beat me. probably Bernard Reedy, maybe. Josh Robinson, he might can get me. Ryan Smith, and that's it.
And that's it. Now, and you got the long legs, so I'm thinking the longer we run this, the more likely you are to be able to win. Is that fair?
Yeah, I could probably get him in like a 60 or 100 yards.
Okay. It's
40
the
yards.
Yeah.
There's probably a few more guys on the team that can probably get me, but 60 or 100, yeah. If I open up and I get running, I'm top three probably.
That's pretty good. I like that. All right, and we had Rick ask us, how did you feel about the fans filling up Ray J and giving the team a new home field advantage and being loud? How much does that help you?
Oh, it helps a lot. You know, we want to win at home. The fans did a great job. It's huge. You know, it messes up their communication. It's just huge. We thrive off of it. You know, we feed off with the fans' energy. And, you know, hopefully we can keep it rocking all year.
And, yeah, I mean, this you guys now 5 in a row at home, which is just huge going back into last season. And has it started to feel again like there is that huge home field advantage and you guys are looking forward to playing at Ray J?
Absolutely. You know, we love playing in front of these fans, especially since we were on the streak last year. More fans were coming out. It just got louder and louder each week. So, you know, I hope the fans keep coming out, please, supporting us, and we're going to give it our all to try to come out with the win and put on a show for you guys.
You guys got that brand new locker room. What was your thought when you first walked in there and saw that?
Amazing. You know, job well done, you know, by the owners and the front office getting that done. It helps a lot. You know, there were only like a couple toilets in there at first. Guys having to wait in line to use the bathroom.
Yeah, you do not want to get caught behind the O-line, I'm guessing. I'm just saying, you know, the more the better here.
Oh, that was the worst. Now it's spacious. We can warm up in the locker room, save us from the heat a little bit. It's awesome.
That's pretty great. And then we'll finish with this. Why number 13?
All right. I'm going to make it quick, but it's a kind of a long story.
Uh-oh.
All right. So in college, I redshirted. I was number 82. They gave me 82. And then the next year, I wanted to be number 5 because that was the number I wore in high school. A senior had number 5, and I couldn't get it. So the two best numbers available were 82 again or 13. So I got 13, started making plays in it, and just kept it going ever since.
I love it. That's awesome. Thanks so much for being with us, man. We really appreciate it. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. This has been Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Evans, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.